you this morning that you can speak to us. You are present in our midst. So, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will just talk to our hearts this morning. Lord, we are having communion this morning in remembrance of your great love for us, in that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. This we all pray in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Now, y'all can be seated. Now, we just saw a clip from the movie, The Blind Side. Who has seen that movie, the whole movie? Nobody? Only Brother Ken has seen that movie, The Blind Side. Anyway, it's a football movie. That's probably why the guys watched it. It's a story of Michael O'Hare, and he is a traumatized poor guy that grew up, you know, among the poor neighborhood. But then he became to be a famous football player because of a caring woman played by Sandra Bullock. And as you see on the movie clip, he was trying to eat by himself. And what did Sandra Bullock do? He stopped the TV and everybody ate around the table. So the title of my message is Around the Table. And I'm going to first show you a picture, and this is very close to home. And it says, what's wrong with this picture? I took that and because I do things, you know, spontaneously, so that was taken at home. And it's not because the cover of our rice cooker is not on top of the rice cooker. Oh wait, what was that? A rice container. But can you see what's wrong with this picture, or is there nothing wrong with this picture? Anyway, in our scripture reading this morning, which was described by Matthew, it was also described by Mark. And you can read that in Mark chapter 14, verses 22 to 24. And Luke also described this in chapter 22, verses 19 to 20. And again, Paul describe this occasion in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 26. And it's talking about the communion. Because I believe that there's something that happens when people are around the table. And that is my topic this morning. Because I remember growing up, a legacy that my father had taught me, and he was a lawyer and he's a teacher. So every time we eat, we wait for my father. You know, we don't eat until my father comes home. And then we all eat, we sit all around the table. And then around the table, he would ask questions. You know, he's a lawyer and he's a teacher, so he asks a lot of questions and he knows how to initiate conversation. Now, if you pardon me, I'm going to give an example of what he said. You know, it's going to be in Tagalog, but you'll have to translate it if you don't understand. I'm so sorry. I apologize. I'm sorry. So he would say something like, "Kumusta ang pag-aaral mo?" And then my brother would say, you know, especially my youngest brother, he'd say, "Ay, nag-lesson at ang test po namin tungkol sa mga manok." And then my father would say, "Ano, madali ba? Are you understanding this? Okay, translate this." And then my brother would say, "Chicken na chicken po." Di sabi ng brother ko, "Eh, anong grade mo?" Di sabi ng kapatid ko, "Itlog po." Sabi niya ganun. But that was, you know, that was like he had a lot. We had a lot of conversations around the table, and I do love gathering around the table. In fact, we feel honored when someone invites you. Don't you feel honored when somebody invites you to their home and enjoy their meal? And I remember Pastor Ed, because he supports the Republican Party, and he would send money to the Republican Party, and the Republican Party invited him. Here was an invitation for him to attend their dinner, and he was very, very honored, and he thought, I mean, but then it would cost him, I don't know how many, $100 to join their dinner, so he didn't end up going there. But you feel honored when somebody would invite you for a dinner. Also, when we were at International or Inland ICC, we usually go out to eat with a lot of older folks. You know, they were like in their 80s, 70s. And Irvin would even go with us, and he was like 10 years old at that time. And they would share their experiences. You learn a lot, younger people. You learn a lot from listening to older people. You learn a lot from their wisdom. You learn a lot from their experiences in life. And we, Pastor Ed and I, will be very, very quiet, and they will be the ones that will be sharing their experiences. And I treasure those moments. I treasure those moments when my father and the kids are gathered together, because I felt that there was such a bonding, and that I felt like, you know, we were connected. And so I do love gathering, chatting with people. And sometimes, because of the busy schedule nowadays, and I've noticed this when we go visit a lot of people, especially the younger parents now, we are losing a culture of gathering together around the table. And perhaps some of you do still eat together, but a lot of us, because of our different schedules, we work different shifts, we work maybe one or two jobs, and we don't have that anymore. And somehow even our technology has also maybe added to the reason why we don't do that anymore, and that our face-to-face conversations now is replaced with cyber relationships. And I don't have anything against Facebook, because I have a Facebook. I don't know how to do Twitter yet, and I still have to learn those. But I am very thankful for those, because I was able to have contact with all my high school classmates. But I still feel that there's difference between face-to-face relationships. And that is my intent this morning, is to show you the benefits of face-to-face relationships. Okay, number one, there are three things that happen around the table. Number one is communication. Even Paul, in Acts 20, chapter 7, that's not the only place in the book of Acts, it says that on the first day of the week, we came together and break bread. That's the first day of the week. So that's actually one of the scriptures that you can point out why we meet on Sundays and not Saturdays. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, kept on talking until midnight. Can you imagine talking until midnight, and then you're all gathered there? In fact, that was the situation where the following verses, it would say that Eutychus fell asleep, and he fell from the window. And this morning, I will not talk to you up to midnight, but I know I have a bedroom voice, so there are people that have a tendency to fall asleep when I talk. But in this day and age, people are owning a lot of computers, smartphones, texting, emailing, friending, and communication can be lost. Because why? We don't realize that the facial expressions, the emotions that we show when we talk, the tone of voice, and such are lost. And from the Pew Research Center, this is as of October 2014, here is the statistics. 64% of American adults own a smartphone as of January 2014. So that should be up by now, maybe 100% now. 90% of American adults own a cell phone. 32% of American adults own an e-reader. 42% of American adults own a tablet computer. And 67% of cell owners find themselves checking their phones for messages, alerts, or calls, even when they don't notice their phone ringing or vibrating. And 44% of cell owners have slept with their phones next to their bed. That's interesting, because they wanted to make sure they didn't miss any calls, text messages, or other updates during the night. 29% of cell owners describe their cell phones as something they can't live without. And this is according to an information based on a 2012 survey. Then another interesting report, it says that nearly half of U.S. children, which is 49%, say they don't see anything wrong with using a technology device at the dinner table. Conversations during meals provide opportunities for family to bond together. In fact, it's a good teaching time for parents and children. I remember that part of the of our school before our subject before was etiquette. This is where I learned to observe table manners. When I used to put my elbows on the table, my father would say, "Linda, your elbows are on the table. Put them on." So I would put them on. I mean, I would take them out from the table. This is where I learned how to, you know, how my brothers are doing, my father is doing, and he would tell a lot of stories during meal times. So in other words, this is a time where you can even observe the diet of your children. What are they eating? I mean, to me, I'm concerned what my kids are eating. Are they eating nutritious meal? You see? And so if I see that, or are they eating at all even? So, and these are just a few examples of what is missed when you don't eat around the table. This also provides them an opportunity to know how to listen. When you're talking, they listen. You can say, when you're talking, you say, you know, you listen because I'm talking. Because if they start interrupting you when you're talking, then you say, listen when somebody is talking. And conversations at the dinner table can also expand the vocabulary of and reading ability of children. Family dinners allow every family member to discuss his or her day and share any exciting news. Anyway, success in communication is more likely when we invite God to be an active participant and guide. In fact, one of the church members had given us a how you call this? It's a saying, and it's on a cardboard. It's carved, or it's on a wood, and I have nailed it. We have nailed it in front of our dining table, and I don't know if you notice this. And this is what it says: Christ is the head of this home, the unseen guest at every meal, the silent listener to every conversation. Remember our scripture. This was a day when Jesus was going to be betrayed the following day. Jesus knew at that time that he was going to be betrayed by Judas, but he was at the table. Jesus knew at that day that he was going to be denied by Peter 3 times, but he was also on that table. So he knew what was going to happen to him. And so this was a very significant day in the life of Jesus. And what did he do? He gathered them around the table. This is in commemoration of the Passover, because Passover is a time for the Jews to celebrate their freedom from bondage from the Egyptian, isn't that right? So they celebrate Passover every year. And so, you know, during Passover, among the Jews, the father, and normally it's done standing, they would eat standing up around the table. And the Jews, it's time for the children to ask what happened they would ask questions. And their father would normally tell them what happened or why they are doing the Passover. And they would retell the story of the Passover. Even John, I didn't say this, but I read this. Can you open, if you will please open your Bible to chapter 3 John, that's the epistle of 3 John. 1:13. 3 John chapter 1. See, this is not the gospel, but it's the epistle, but it's written by the Apostle John. Chapter 1, verse 13. If you're looking for 3 John in the Old Testament, you're way. This should be right before the end of the Bible, before Revelation. So Jude should be the only one in between 3 John. Are y'all there? 3 John, chapter 1, verse 13. Sister Mary, are you there? Can you please read it?
I have much more to say to you, but I don't want to write it with pen and ink.
Go further.
For I hope to see you soon, and then we will talk face to face.
That's right. Right? He said that. So if I were to translate this, it would be something like, you know, I'd like to text you or email you, but you know, I'd rather see you face to face. Right? In fact, that's also found, even that was the end of, on the 2 John, that is also repeated again. 2 John, at the end of 2 John, go there. Chapter 1, verse 12. 2 John, chapter 1, verse 12. Sister Barbara, are you there? Go ahead and read it. Wow. So that's, what did she say? I want to talk to you face to face so that your joy may be complete. So even John said he would rather, this was written like a long time ago, but we'd rather see them face to face. In fact, in Matthew it says, you're two or three are gathered, you are, God is in your midst. So that's number one is communication. Number two, there is connection. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17 says, this is written by Paul. He says, because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. In other words, Paul is saying we are one body. When we are partaking together in communion, we are one body. That's why we share first communion. That's why we share communion of every first of the month. In other words, we're saying we're all different here, but we are one body. In fact, there's a assistant professor, Paul Booth. He's an assistant professor of media and cinema studies in the College of Communication at DePaul University in Chicago. This is what he says. Our interaction on social media tend to be weak ties. That is, we don't often feel as personally connected to the people at the other end of our communication as we do when we're face to face. So while we're communicating more, we may not necessarily be building relationships as strongly. That's what he says. In other words, social improvements were linked to frequency of family meals. Teens who ate at the family table, here's another one. Teens who ate at the family table more often were more likely to show fewer signs of depression and feel that their family was more supportive compared with teens who died less often at home. Now I'm sharing this, hopefully the younger people will be able to apply this in their families, their future families. Because we people are social beings. God has created us a social being. God is a relational God. And so he didn't want to be meant to be stand alone. What did he do? He created a woman because he wanted to relate. He wanted someone to relate. Adam could not relate with those animals. So God created Eve. And in fact, God is a relational God. Now, here's a point that is so clear to me. You know how in the Old Testament, God spoke to the prophets, right? To the prophets, and he was, and then to the burning bush, and who else? He even spoke through the using a donkey, right? He would use other people, but no one had seen his face to face. What did God do so that man would be able to establish relationship with God? What did he do? He sent his only son to come to earth so that we may be able to see him face to face. Because he says, anyone who had seen me, Jesus said this, anyone who had seen me has seen my Father. So God himself chose face-to-face relationship by sending his only son to die for us. Amen. Because it was not enough for people to, Jesus came down where he was able to touch the lives of people, where he was able to talk to people face-to-face. So that's how God was able to, he was the image of the firstborn, he said, the Bible tells us. So God, he demonstrated his love for us by sending his only son face-to-face with people. Eating at the table is one of the few activities of life that every human being has in common. But hidden within the invitation to eat with someone is a message that says, I like you. I care enough about you to share my meal with you. Or I want to bond with you in some ways. Isn't it that when a gentleman is interested with another woman, let's say you're asking someone for a date, what is the first thing they would ask? Would you like to go out with me to McDonald's? I said that I would used to go out to it's McDonald's because that was the only one that was open, I think, at that time. And we would enjoy a meal at night at the McDonald's. But this is because you want to know more about the person, so you invite them to a dinner. Isn't that right? I mean, you go see a movie, but after a movie, you go out and eat. So it is a way of you saying, I'm kind of interested, in you, right? And then even the Telegram paper, it featured a guy named Scott Olford. He was a 23-year-old, and he's a founder of Infinitus Marketing and Technology. He was selling eggs at the age of 7. And at the age of 16, he already started his first web page development company. By the age of 21, he had 3 companies, but then they all failed. But you know what changed, what turned it around? He was influenced by a book by Keith Ferrazzi. And the title of the book is Never Eat Alone. And what did he do? He started doing lunches and dinners around table with experts and business people around the world. And because of that, he was able to establish a multi-million dollar business because of the lunches and dinners that he had with other business people. So now he has a multi-million dollar business. Even the book of Hebrews cautions believers against forsaking together. It presumably was referring more than a chat room or a Skype or a conference call. Technology can sometimes impede authentic person-to-person intimacy. Sometimes it mistakes isolation for connection. Because what do? You isolate yourself and you're only interacting with your computer. When I interact with my classmates on the computer, there's nothing that will compare to my interaction with them personally when I see them face to face. Ultimate joy is found in face-to-face interaction, not because it has better benefits than social media and relationship, but because this is how God has chosen to save his people. God has taken a people who could not see his face, given them Jesus who could see face to face, so that in an ultimate consummation, we can and will behold the glory and face of God. And I am so glad that God didn't text, email, Twitter, or blog his message of love to us. If he had come to earth on this day and age, he probably would have used the Twitter or emails, but yet I still believe that incarnation would still be the consummation of his desire for relationship with humankind. What is the third benefit of face-to-face or around the table? Number three, there is communion. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 says, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." In other words, God created the church so we can all be united together in communion. If you look around us, none of us look like us, exactly like us, I should say. We are all unique. God has all created us with different abilities, with different personalities, with different tempers, and with different hair. Some have white, some have brown, and some have black. And with different faces. And we have different gifts too. Some can sing and some can't. Some can play the musical instrument and some can't. But in spite of their difference, in spite of our differences, we come together and there's one person that binds us together, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. Because we cannot come in communion unless we have invited Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior of our life. Because there would be no significance or meaning in communion unless you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because he is the only person that can bind us together in spite of our differences. Even in our doctrines, because our doctrines may differ in some on the minor things, and we have to major in the major things and doctrine, that we believe that Jesus Christ is the only way, the truth, and the life. That Jesus Christ is the only way to your salvation. He is the only mediator. In other words, when we observe communion, we show our participation in the body of Christ. His life becomes our life, and we become members of each other. One of the stories in the Bible that I truly like is the story of Mephibosheth. Okay, I can't pronounce his name. Mephibosheth. Say that again. Mephibosheth. Right? Mephibosheth. He was a crippled guy, and he was the son of Jonathan. And David and Jonathan were good friends. And he made a covenant with Jonathan. And at the time that Mephibosheth was born, he was dropped, and so he became crippled. And David became a very, very strong army man. You know, he was defeating all his opponents until such time that even Mephibosheth was fearful for his life. And do you know what David did? He invited Mephibosheth in his house. He invited him to around the table. And this is what he said to Mephibosheth. He says, "Don't be afraid," David said to him, because, you know, Mephibosheth was starting to be afraid because he thought that David would also kill him. David says to him, "I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table. One way or another, we're kind of like Mephibosheth, because we're all crippled. We are, you know, in a way, we're all, the Bible tells us that we are all sinners and fall short of the glory of God. And today, God is inviting us to dine at his table. One author said that, I want you to notice that Jesus established the communion the very night that he was betrayed, because Jesus knew. People knew that he was going to be betrayed by Judas. But yet he had invited us in his, or invited us, or he established the table or the communion table. In other words, the table, or around the table, around this table, is an opportunity for us to become conscious of our sins and repent of them. It is an opportunity for us to remember that Jesus died to forgive you and me of our sins. It's an opportunity for us to give thanks for his mercy. Because, you know, sometimes we celebrate communion, we celebrate church, and we do it so often enough that we lose the significance and meaning of communion. So my intent this morning is that maybe perhaps it will remind you why we do the things that we do every first of the month. Why do we have communion every month? Because it is very significant. It's not only because we are participating or remembering what Jesus did, but we are also communing as one body, as a church. Of all the things that we call the worship, this should be the one that makes us worship God most. This should make us thankful, because it brings us the closest to knowing God. It's not about, because we like to have communion because it was baked by, it's Azel, and it's so good. It's not whether it's big or small, whether the table is round or whether it's square. It's all about participating or remembering what Jesus did on the cross. It's all about Jesus Christ. So in other words, it's not about the church, whether it's big or small, that we celebrate. It's not about the type of bread. It's about turning off our thoughts, our worries, our concerns, and focusing on Jesus. When was the last time we enjoyed being at the Lord's table? Do we enjoy his presence, or are we concerned with what's going on somewhere else? Because, you know, isn't it rude when you are at a table and somebody, you hear the phone ring or make a sound to signify that there was a call, or there was a tweet, or there was a text. And then let's say it was a good conversation, and then this person just picks up his phone and receives it and just disregard the people in the table. Sometimes that is like saying, I'm more concerned about this person that's way over in Mars than this person that is around me. Jesus said that as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. In other words, when we come to the communion table, remember, it's not your table, it's Jesus' table. It's a great time to honor and sit down at the communion table. This is a time of worship. So this morning, as we gather together as a church to receive communion, and as the worship team comes, let us examine ourselves. So you can go ahead, come in, and we all stand to participate in the communion. We come to the communion table recognizing it is a symbol of what Jesus Christ accomplished for us on the cross. The scripture says to examine ourselves, and the implications of that verse are varied. But this morning, I want you to just take a moment to answer the Passover question. What makes this day any different? What does this celebration mean to me personally? If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you're a child of God, then you rejoice. If you have not yet received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then this morning you have an opportunity to receive him and the forgiveness of your sins. Those people that need to recommit their lives to Jesus, you can do so also this morning. As a way, because the Lord says, examine yourself to ready to meet the Lord. Pastor Ed.